Hello there, faithful listener. You've tuned in to Season 7 of the Bible Explained podcast. So make sure to grab your cup of coffee, because today we are going to be discussing the Book of Acts. Hey, good morning, faithful listeners. Hope you all are having a fantastic Thursday. And let's go ahead and jump into scripture today. We're going to be talking about Acts chapter 23, verses 22 through 35. So grab your cup of coffee or your cup of tea this morning, and let's go ahead and enjoy reading God's word together. I'll be reading this out of the WEB as usual. So the commanding officer let the young man go, charging him, "Tell no one that you have revealed these things to me." He called to himself two of the centurions and said, "Prepare 200 soldiers to go as far as Caesarea with 70 horsemen and 200 men armed with spears at the third hour of the night." He asked them to provide animals that they might set Paul on one and bring him safely to Felix, the governor. He wrote a letter like this: "Claudius Lysias to the most excellent governor Felix, greetings. This man was seized by the Jews and was about to be killed by them when I came with the soldiers and rescued him, having learned that he was a Roman. Desiring to know the cause why they accused him, I brought him down to their council. I found him to be accused about questions of their law, but not to be charged with anything worthy of death or of imprisonment. When I was told that the Jews lay in wait for the man, I sent him to you immediately, charging his accusers also to bring their accusations against him before you. Farewell." So the soldiers, carrying out their orders, took Paul and brought him by night to Antipatris. But on the next day, they left the horsemen to go with him and returned to the barracks. When they came to Caesarea and delivered the letter to the governor, they also presented Paul to him. And when the governor had read it, he asked what province he was from. When he understood that he was from Cilicia, he said, "I will hear you fully when your accusers also arrive." He commanded that he be kept in Herod's palace. So Paul's nephew has just saved Paul's life. The nephew somehow found out about this terrible thing that was going to happen to Paul, these 40 men that were planning on killing Paul, and even took out this ridiculous oath not to eat or drink anything until they had killed Paul. He found out about it and brought it to the leading Roman official, who was Claudius Lysias. And so Claudius Lysias listened to Paul's nephew, actually, and listened to him very intently. And because Claudius, I think, liked Paul and didn't find any problems with Paul and was probably irritated at the Jews at this time, he took this information from Paul's nephew very seriously, actually. And so what ended up happening is when he sent the nephew away, he said to him, "Don't tell anyone that you told me these things." Probably so that the young man's life wouldn't be in danger, because, I mean, the type of people that were up against Paul were extremely dangerous, right? These were assassins that would go to any lengths to try to kill Paul. So in order to probably just in general keep the young boy safe and the young boy's family and Paul's family, and also to make sure Paul gets out of the city safely, he told the young man not to say a single word. And that's where we left off last week when we talked about this. So now we're in verse 23, and it says that Claudius Lysias, after hearing this information, takes it very seriously. He calls two centurions to him, and centurions were basically like sergeants of 100 people. So he calls two centurions to him and he says, "Prepare your 200 soldiers to go as far as Caesarea with 70 horsemen and 200 men armed with spears at the third hour of the night." And I was talking to my husband recently about the spear. And my husband's kind of a history buff, and he was telling me, I didn't look this up, I'm just going to take my husband's word for it, but he was telling me that the spear was the most efficient weapon used in battle. So Claudius here is making sure that these men are armed and that they are ready for battle. So he says, "Arm them with spears and go at the third hour of the night." Now, the third hour of the night was about 9 p.m., so this would have been later at night, probably when nobody was expecting it. Probably people are settling down to go to sleep and just aren't expecting Claudius Lysias to send Paul to Caesarea at that hour of the night. So this is going to be discreet, and it's going to be well organized and planned as well, and prepared also. He asked them to provide animals that they might set Paul on one and bring him safely to Felix, the governor. So he even puts Paul on a horse so that Paul could potentially get away, you know, as compared to if Paul was walking or something like that, Paul would have a much harder time running away from a bunch of assassins than he would riding away from a bunch of assassins. So he even puts Paul on a horse. And you can imagine Paul at this point in time, like riding on a horse with 200 soldiers guarding him. Like Paul would have to know that everything that Jesus was telling him the night before was complete truth, right? Because Jesus had been in that jail cell with Paul, encouraging Paul, because Paul was very discouraged after everything that was happening to him. Paul possibly thought that he was going to die. And so Jesus actually came to that jail cell while Paul was there. And he said, Paul, cheer up, because you are going to go to Rome and you are going to testify about me there as you have done here in Jerusalem. And Paul certainly would have been able to see Jesus protecting him. Like sometimes we have to see it. I was just talking about this on the podcast, I think in the Old Testament side of stuff last week, about how sometimes it's really nice to just see that God is protecting us. And I gave an example that last week we had a really bad thunderstorm, actually, where I was at. It was so bad that a bunch of trees in my area fell. And I was looking at all the trees that fell, and I noticed that every single one of them fell away from my house. Not a single tree fell into the property or onto the house where we live. And I found that so amazing. I was like, wow, God really does take care of me. I thought that when I saw those trees that fell away from the house. I mean, sometimes we just need that visual image of God protecting us because, you know, we're humans and we are weak and we walk by sight a lot of times instead of faith. And even Paul, you know, he was a human being, the same as you and me. He probably also walked by sight instead of faith a lot. I mean, the old saying, seeing is believing. When we see physical proof that God is taking care of us, that God is protecting us, it's so powerful, isn't it? You know, and so Paul riding on this horse with 200 soldiers armed to the nines, you know, ready to protect Paul. I'm sure that that was extremely meaningful to Paul. And he truly knew that God was with him, that God was on his side. But you know whose side God wasn't on was those guys that made that very stupid vow to not eat or drink anything before Paul was killed. And a lot of people wondered, like, what happened to those guys? Did they die because they didn't eat or drink anything? Well, I highly doubt it. I am sure they totally broke their vow after they realized that Paul got away. And I'm sure that they were eating and drinking the very next day because these people were not moral. Even though they wanted to look moral by making this, you know, quote unquote, holy vow, there was nothing holy about it. So people who are not moral at all and only pretend to be holy aren't actually going to be moral. They weren't going to stick with that vow. The second that it got hard, no, they weren't going to stick with it. They valued their own lives. And so I'm sure that they were eating and drinking the very next day. On top of that, people could also get out of their vows by going to the priest and telling the priest, well, I didn't really mean to make that vow, or it was a mistake, and they could get out of it in that way. Depending on what the vow was, they could make an excuse and get out of it. And I'm sure that all of them made an excuse and got out of the vow that they made. But we know that vows are not supposed to be taken lightly. They are not just supposed to be made willy-nilly. Vows are promises that you make to God. And so you're supposed to be very, very careful, first and foremost, what you vow. And secondly, when you make a vow to God, it's a promise and you should be keeping that promise to God. They are not something that you just make and break whenever you want, because then you are lying to God. You are not keeping a promise to God. Now, granted, this was a very stupid vow, and I hope that these assassins turn towards God and apologize to God. And I mean, we don't know, obviously, because it doesn't say in scripture what happened to these assassins after they made this vow. But hopefully some of them turned to God after that, but we don't know any more about it. And so, yeah, what ended up happening was Paul safely got to Caesarea. But before Paul gets to Caesarea, Claudius Lysias actually writes a letter to Felix the governor, okay? And he sends it along with Paul. Now, Felix the governor, a little history on this guy, he was the Roman governor of Judea from the years 52 to 58 AD. He was also known as Claudius Felix, and he was in some way related to Nero, the famous and very notorious Caesar of Rome, who did a lot of damage to the early Christian church. In fact, a lot of people think that Nero himself was the one that killed Paul, and it's very likely that that actually is the case. So this guy, Felix, was in some way related to Nero, either through marriage or through birth. But Felix, fun fact, he was actually the governor that helped get rid of the Egyptian guy that started a huge riot with like several thousand people. And what's funny is that same Egyptian guy, when Paul was first arrested, Claudius Lysias actually thought that Paul was that Egyptian guy. So just kind of an interesting little history there, which, by the way, I briefly touched on the Egyptian guy, but it's kind of funny how much it's coming up in history. But anyway, Felix, the governor, he was a pretty prominent person. He had a lot of family ties and family connections that were very powerful. And he was also close with the Caesar at this point in time. So he had a lot of power. And so this is now who Paul is going to go visit. And so here's the letter that Claudius Lysias sends along with Paul to the governor Felix. It says in verse 27, "Greetings. This man was seized by the Jews, and he was about to be killed by them when I came with the soldiers and rescued him, having learned that he was a Roman." Which, that's very funny, because that's not actually how it happened. Claudius Lysias himself believed that Paul was part of the problem. Like I said, he thought that Paul was actually that Egyptian guy that was causing a whole lot of issues. And he started trying to beat Paul, actually. He tied up Paul. He chained Paul. He started almost beating him. And then that was when Paul was like, "So I'm a Roman citizen and you're not allowed legally to beat me without me having a trial." And that was when Claudius Lysias was like, "Oh, crap, this guy is a Roman. I could get in a lot of trouble for binding him." And then suddenly Claudius Lysias was very, very nice to Paul after all of that. But it's funny that he doesn't mention that in his letter. He just says that I rescued Paul because he was a Roman citizen and I found out that he was about to get beaten and abused by these Jews. But that was not actually how the story went, even though that's what he wrote here in this letter. "Desiring to know the cause of why they accused him, I brought him down to their council. I found him to be accused about the questions of their law, but not to be charged with anything worthy of death or of imprisonment. When I was told that the Jews lay in wait for the man, I sent him to you immediately, charging his accusers also to bring their accusations against him before you. Farewell." So now this letter is brought with Paul. It says that they got him to Caesarea safely, and they presented Paul to Felix along with the letter. And so the governor read the letter, and he asked what province Paul was from. And so he understood that Paul was then from Cilicia, and he discovered that Paul was in his jurisdiction and may or may not have been happy about that. We don't know. But it says here in verse 35, "I will hear you fully when your accusers also arrive." And he commanded that he be kept in Herod's palace. Which, by the way, he actually also had ties to Herod, from my understanding. I believe he was married to Herod's daughter. So that's also an interesting turn of events. So Felix in general was very, very powerful because he had connections to both the Caesar and also to Herod Agrippa. So he commanded that Paul be kept in Herod's palace until Paul's accusers come and present their case about him. But here's the thing about this, is if Paul's accusers don't decide to come, Paul is stuck in prison for who knows how long. But this Felix guy didn't really care about that. So now Paul is stuck waiting. And I would guess hoping that his accusers arrive so that he can present his case, show that he is innocent, and get out of prison as quickly as possible. But unfortunately, that's not going to be the case for Paul. He is going to wait quite a long time in prison. And I'm sure that this is not pleasant for him, I am sure that this is the last thing he wants to be doing, is somebody as energetic as Paul was, as wanting to spread the gospel as Paul was. I am sure that he was quite irritated to be stuck in prison. I'm sure that this was a very unhappy time for Paul. But sometimes God makes us go through waiting periods, times where we just have to learn to wait patiently on God. That brings me to a verse. It's actually the verse of P40 Ministries, which is the ministry behind this podcast. P40 actually stands for Psalm chapter 40. And Psalm 40 verses 1 and 2 says, "I waited patiently for the Lord to help me, and he turned to me and he heard my cry. He lifted me up out of the pit of despair, out of the mud and mire. He set my feet on solid ground and steadied me as I walked along." Those are my favorite verses, because during times of waiting, we have to learn how to wait patiently. And sometimes that is so difficult to do. But notice in that verse, in Psalm 40, verse 1, it actually says that the author was crying while he was waiting patiently. So you can, in fact, cry while you're waiting patiently. You can, in fact, cry out to God and ask him for help and ask him to get you through this time of waiting, and ask him to help you figure out why you're waiting and what you're waiting for. There's nothing wrong with that. But it does say in that verse that God eventually came and helped the author, came and brought him out of the pit, out of the mud and the mire, and set his feet on solid ground and steadied him as he walked along. So the waiting period might be long. It might be irritating. It might be hard even to go through it. It might be uncomfortable and difficult. But God eventually will help you, and he will hear you if you keep crying out to him for help. And so now Paul, he's going to have to learn how to wait patiently as he discovers what God's plan is in his life. Even though he's stuck in jail, God certainly had a plan for Paul's life. And he has a plan for your life also. You just have to learn to wait patiently for God to move you. Hope you enjoy the sound of the raindrops behind me. It started raining halfway through this episode, and I have my window open because it's nice and it's not warm out, but it's still just nice out. And so I have my window open, and the rain is giving just a nice ambiance. It's almost like a nighttime podcast right now. So, but anyway, guys, I hope you enjoyed today's episode, and check out tomorrow's episode, because we're going to be talking about David and Jonathan and their special bond that they had. What was that special bond? Was it something inappropriate, or was it something else? We'll talk about that tomorrow. So, faithful listeners, I will see you all 6 a.m. or whenever you choose to wake up and listen. And as always, happy listening, and God bless.